We're back here, WWGH Radio, Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with Glenn Coble.
Call your mother.
No, mom doesn't need to be called. But an interesting conversation was developing about, do you keep somebody's secret? Now, we were talking about it if you overhear something at a dinner party, do you go tell that person, or do you tell other people that that person said that?
Well, I'm one of the type of people that I don't believe what people tell me over at a dinner party. I'm kind of, I want to see it or I don't believe it, and I'm not going to pass it along unless I know it. So if somebody says to me, did you see that John Smith was having illicit relationships with Joan whatever, Taylor, I wouldn't pass that on to anybody unless I saw it.
Which I think's the point.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's see here. Go ahead, Colin.
Scott.
Yes.
All right. You're talking about people saying this and saying that off the air and then come back on the air and say it. If they don't have the courage to say it on air to begin with, why would they want to say it and then come back on and do it again?
That's a good point, Bob.
No, wait, say that again. I want to make sure I get that.
If you're going to say something about somebody, don't do it up there and then come back on here and then say it. If they don't want anybody to know it.
Be consistent with what you do.
Well, I'll tell you, here's the reason why. And I'm not defending the... Okay, but here's the thing. The airwaves are different than talking to somebody personally.
True.
A lot of people are overhearing this. And a lot of people who are well-known in the community are overhearing this. So it's... I would never want to come on the air and humiliate somebody. Like Glenn just said something. Now, I'm not going to say what it is, but let me give you this example. Glenn just said something about a friend of his who had a trait that was not a good trait. But I don't think he would have come... Well, he's never said it on the air because it would embarrass that person, I think, or it would be known as a dig on them.
That's the point I'm trying to make. If you don't want to embarrass someone, if I came to you at home and said something to you in private, then why would I want to come back on the air later or have you guys put it on the air later if it was in private?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Agree.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do. We all agree. The thing that we were arguing about is that I mentioned that Charlie kind of teased you off the air with. But you knew that he was teasing you because he had done it on the air. So what you're saying is correct. He wasn't afraid.
If I had anything to say, I'd say it on the air. When Charlie, a couple times, when him and I battered back and forth, because he kept changing his program back and forth, and he would say to me, well, I can do what I want to do. I said, yeah, that's your program.
Well, let me see. But I don't want to get...
Still, what I'm trying to say is, if I come tell you I'm doing something in private, that should stay that way.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's, I guess, what I want to say. And I don't want to talk because Charlie has departed and I know his family listens, so I don't want to use this as an example. If he was here, I would use it. But I will guarantee you, I worked with Charlie for 20 years. But it's of myself, too, and it's of Glenn. Glenn just did it during the last break, and I don't even think he realized he did it. There are things that you say during the break that you would not come back and say on the air. Now, you're not doing that out of cowardness. You're doing it because you don't wish to embarrass somebody. Right. It's a superficial thing. I'll give you an example. Now, this has nothing to do with Charlie, but it does have to do with me. I was in the studio one time, and the door is usually shut when I'm in the studio. Okay, the person had terrible BO. Terrible, terrible, terrible BO.
Oh, you're talking about me again.
And they got up, and we did the interview, and they left. Now, the next person came in to do the show, and of course you smelled it. It was horrible. And I thought they might think it was me, and I said, no, that person had terrible BO. And I used the person's name. Now, I am not
on the air, though.
No,
right, yeah.
No, but I am not going to come on the air and say that that person had terrible BO. Even though it's true, And even though I told the person during the break that they had BO, I'm not going to come on the air and do it. And I think that's the difference.
Well, that's like when I was talking about Taylor. I knew Taylor from way, way back from the county fair and all back years ago. When he was at the fair, because my dad and I worked with him out at the fair. That's been years ago, back in the 60s and 70s. So I knew how Charlie was, and I didn't mind. We always got along good. But the point is, I'm trying to get is, if you're going to say it on air, not off, and then come on air later.
Well, let me say this. Let me just say this on that particular issue, and then we can move on to the next one, is that I know... And again, I'm going to tiptoe around this because it's hard to talk about this issue because you end up saying things that aren't supposed to be said on the air in the first place. But I know that somebody came in late last year. It was in the latter, because we had moved into this studio, so it had to be after September. Somebody came in and made a remark about one of the regular callers to Charlie. And they made it off... Well, they made it to me, too. I was in the room. It was a regular caller to this station. They made the comment off the air, and they made it to Charlie and I. Now, there's no way Charlie or I would have ever went on the air and said what that person said, but I guarantee you it bothered Charlie, and it bothered me a little bit, and I know it did because it was brought up in the breaks before, and it was brought up for the rest of Charlie's life. So I just don't think you go on and embarrass people. I don't think that's the point. I think people call in. When you guys call in, I appreciated it. I know Charlie appreciated it. But do you hear things sometimes that you don't know? Do you learn things? You do. But that's not our job. We're not the sheriff department. So that's,
we love having your call in, Bob. Call in anytime.
Yes, thank you, Bob. But does any of this make any sense? Do you know what I'm talking about there, Glenn? I think you might have been here for a little bit of this.
I think I know the right person you're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly. Now, do you think that should have been brought up on the air?
No, and I think anybody with any intelligence would have known that.
Right, but it was talked about during many a break.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if you say that I fell down during the break, well, you can come on to say that. Who cares? But I'm not going to...
You've got to quit drinking while you're on
there. I know. Well, that happens from time to time, too. But I'm... And you know what the thing of it is, too? I know many things about... One of the problems is I worked with Charlie so long. I mean, 3 days a week, that's 5 breaks a week. And I always came in and talked to him.
Sure.
So that's fine. I work with him more than anybody else
and
here.
You and I talk out in the
lobby
a lot. Like
so
that.
I just know things that come up in conversation. And I'm not going to come. Now, if you want to come on and say them, that's your business.
The thing that you weren't really criticizing me for mentioning that Charlie had talked about Bob off the air. I think you were just teasing me. But I think most people know what is fodder for public consumption and what is not. And most of the stuff that we hear is not fodder for public, off the air.
I even hate to use Charlie in this because, you know, he's no longer here to give the definitive answer. But here's the problem with that. Even the Bob thing, okay? And I know Bob's out there listening. Okay, here's the problem with the Bob thing. Whether or not we think he would or would not have cared that it was brought up, he can't say that now. And he didn't go on the air and say it. There's only one time I ever remember him doing it, and he did it when he had had a few drinks.
Yeah.
So that tells me it was not something he would have done a lot. And so he just
wasn't making an assumption there, but
okay. And you're making the assumption that he would have.
Assume each other to death.
Right. And, but you know what? There are a lot of people who are no longer with us that I know things about, and I don't think that leaving this earth is a good reason all of a sudden to spill all their secrets.
Well, when I leave this earth, I don't give a rat's behind.
While you're here, you do.
No, not really.
I
have not done anything.
Look at what
about.
We're facing now. I mean, look at public figures who are long dead and we're taking down their statues, we're taking their names off of things. We don't know their perspective. You know, somebody said the other day, who is very democratic, very liberal as could be, more liberal than I would think you were, more certainly more involved in the Democratic Party, said to me, and I was kind of shocked about this, about the Christopher Columbus statues being torn down, because the conceived notion is that liberals think that's a good thing to do, or at least they're okay with the idea of it. And this person said to me, we were taught in school to revere Christopher Columbus, and how do I know what the indigenous people did? How do I know they didn't attack him? How do I know what was going through their mind? I can't ask anybody from that era.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
I think there are a lot more things that are far more important than that.
But that was just the question.
But I do understand why the Civil War monuments that were put up
in
1895 in order to frighten the African American.
But we're talking Christopher Columbus in Ohio.
I never did understand that. Well, now, I do understand that most people, most historians, believed that he was not good to the natives. But, you know, when I was a kid, I thought he discovered Plymouth Rock. You know, and he was never on the main landmass of the United States. So.
You know, I was just trying to think if I had any secrets, because I don't talk about anything personal, even during the break. So I don't know if I really have any fears of anything.
I have no fears. That's the nice thing about telling the truth.
But there, I mean, the thing you just said, if I would say the person's name and what you said, I don't think...
I don't think it was.
Just going to hold it up here just so it's making sense.
All right. But,
because I don't think it was for on-air consumption.
One of the reasons why I'm doing this reading of Sojourner Truth's speech today is that when I was a kid, we didn't know... I don't even know what that spells. Oh.
Now, would that have been something you would have came on the air and said with the person's name in the sentence?
I wouldn't have said that in public, but it wouldn't have embarrassed me if you had said I said it.
So if I would have came back on the air and I would have said, during the break, Glenn said such and such had this problem, you'd have been perfectly fine with it.
I wouldn't have been perfectly fine with it, but I'd have been okay with it because it's the truth, told him.
Right,
so.
But you were okay to say it during the break.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be perfectly fine with me saying it.
No, I don't mind if you say it. If you want to.
No, because I don't think it's... I think it's an unimportant thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But it wouldn't have bothered me, no. But anyway, I one of the reasons why I'm doing this thing on Sojourner Truth is because when I was growing up as a kid, we were told things and we were not told things that we should have been told about our history, to cleanse our history of our racial problems and cleanse the history of our evilness that we did. The March of Tears, or that's not the exact name, but where we killed thousands of Native Americans because we wanted their land. Those things were not told to us in history classes.
Well, but you know, the problem with history is, what do we really know?
Well, we know what has been told down through the decades, through the years.
Right, and I don't know...
And what's been written down through the... And
what is accurate and what is not?
Well, true, but you can go on forever just saying, well, what, we weren't there, so we don't know it's true. Well, you have to take your best guess with the best information that you've been given. And that's true. My father and I used to have fights all the time about religious stuff like that, because... You don't know what, well, first of all, the entire Bible, New Testament of the Bible, was written around 200 to 300 after Christ died.
Let me just say this before we go to break. I can keep a secret.
Okay.
And I think I have a good, somebody doesn't have to say to me, keep that a secret.
Well, you're infuriating about that, because you don't even say.
We're going to break.
Scott, you know I love fruitcake so much that for me it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake, and oh, the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on WWDH Radio.
If it's on Facebook, it's true.
If it's on Facebook, it must be true. Must be a real thing.
Scott, I like you.
Well, I think these are deep conversations.
Yeah, they are.
I think that's what people tune into this station for.
I hope so, yeah.
Is because this is like a conversation that you would have over lunch with somebody right now. And why do we have to talk about coronavirus all the time? Why do we have to talk about politics all the time? Why do we have to do that?
I think the politics are going to be talked about for the next 90 days.
Listen, we had David Pepper on this morning.
Yeah.
We did it.
but I agree with you. I am tired of hearing about the coronavirus, but we need to know the facts.
But these are the mores of life, what we're talking about now. The mores of life are you become gossip if you say things out of turn. Do you spread rumors? Do you say things in confidence? Do you have to tell people, don't tell such and such this?
But if you weren't in the room when it happened and you pass it along because a friend of yours heard this, everything you say is gossip. We aren't in the room, in everybody's room, so everything is hearsay.
Well, no, but here's the problem. You can't put spilt milk back in the jug. And I remember years ago...
you don't want to drink it.
I have this interview somewhere. Helen Thomas, who was the dean of the White House Press Corps, who was working at that time... I don't know who she was working for, but she was with UPI for a long time.
Yes, she was.
And she was covering President Bush. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew she didn't have the best relationship with him because of the exchanges that they had had.
She was kind of rough with
him. Right. But she'd been rough with Nixon.
Of course.
She'd been rough with Clinton.
She asked straight-up questions.
Right. Well, she was at a dinner party, and people can Google this. She was at a dinner party, and she said, George W. Bush is the worst president in the history of the United States. Now, this is while he's still president. And somebody overheard it and printed it.
Yeah.
And she got ticked. Because she said, that was not on the record. I was at dinner, and somebody asked my opinion. That was not, shouldn't, and now everybody thinks she's this big liberal. And I remember asking her that during an interview, and she said, people don't understand off the record.
Yeah, and you shouldn't have to say all the time, this is off the record. And I have been a writer for a newspaper for 2 years, and I did tell everybody that I don't do interviews off the record. Everything that we're going to talk about from now on is on the record, and I started most of my interviews that way.
Now, why would you do an interview off the record?
There are for background, so that you understand why things are done, which may lead you to questions that are on the record.
I would never do an interview off the record.
It's done all the time. It is. As a matter of fact, I think if you watch a lot of the things that are on TV right now, you'll see questions that you can tell were not on the record but were used. Anyway, I don't know.
Like in a pre-interview?
I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this. Never mind. But, I think I did one with he wasn't governor yet, but Strickland, and I asked him several questions before I did my formal interview, and I told him this will be off the record, and I did not print what he said. One of the things was, he was a Methodist minister, my dad was a Methodist minister, and I asked him some questions about some rulings that the Methodist Church had put in place at the time. And those things I will never tell anybody because I told him that was off the record.
But why did that have to be off the record?
So that he would tell me his honest belief.
So you thought he would lie if you would have been on the record?
I was afraid he might, yeah. If he was told he was on the record. Now, see, that's the nice thing about being an honest politician. Now, if that gentleman who called in earlier had asked me my honest opinion of what he was saying, you know, the gentleman that was wanted people to talk straight up, and I agree with him. I think you should talk straight up. But I think you should also be willing to talk straight up and accept evidence that you're wrong.
But why can't your opinion be none of your business?
Oh, I think it can.
I mean, if I knew I was going to have to...
people tell me that.
Well, if I knew I was going to have to lie about something or I felt uncomfortable talking about it, I would just say none of your business.
Well, the nice thing about putting somebody off the record is they know you will never say it again, or if you're an ethical writer. You will never say it again anywhere. And they don't have to tell you it's none of your business that way.
Well, see, I just don't understand an off-the-record question. Now, I understand an off-the-record tip. Now, those I get because some people don't want to be implicated in passing along a story. Now, I understand that. But you're going to run that story. You're just not going to put their name in it. I get that. But I don't understand a whole off-the-record conversation that you're never going to use. Unless you're, like, stuck at a party. I would never... I mean, you can't... I don't even know how you do an off-the-record interview and broadcast.
Well,
because we're in front of microphones.
It would be very difficult. Yes, yeah. You can't do it in broadcast or radio or television. But you can do it when you're a writer. And I found it very useful occasionally to ask that question. I had a police officer who... Well, he really wasn't much of a police officer. But anyway, he was the only police official in this tiny community. And I asked him off the record because I didn't want it. I didn't think it was anybody else's business. I asked him off the record if he had ever been charged with a felony because in this little town, they didn't ask that question. But I asked him off the record so that he would tell me the truth, and yes, he had. I never told anybody.
But don't you think that, I would not do that, because I think that's something the voters have a right to know, and if I've off-the-recorded it, I can never tell them.
No.
Now, if I think that's something I should ask on the record. Now, they can say whatever they want. If they lie, they lie. But that's not on me.
And in retrospect, I probably should have asked him on the record so that I could say it, but I knew he wouldn't answer it honestly if I asked him on the record. So this way it gave me background to know that the guy is it had to do with a child. So he was
right,
a
but
pedophile.
Then you can't tell anybody.
No, but I couldn't have told anybody anyway. We had rules that you had to have a secondary resource to say it. As most... like Sports Illustrated, you have to have three sources
to make a statement. Somebody's been charged with a felony. You can't get two sources on that? I mean, that's public record.
Yeah, it was out of state where this
public
happened.
Record.
And I didn't know how, so yeah, I probably could have. I didn't know
See, the problem is, if it's not true, and they haven't, then whether it's on the record or not, you can never do anything with it.
Well, you can then, and I have asked a person, now, this was off the record, do you mind if I make it on the record? And they will say yes. You know, if they want it on the record.
See, I think you have to ask the tough questions. Now, people can answer it however they want. You're not a lie detector, and you're not under oath.
I'd say 95% or more, I ask the tough question, and I would get an answer. But if I knew that they were going to lie about it, I might say off the record so that I would at least know where that person was coming from.
Right, but I guess aside from you knowing, then what does it do?
It colors my resource. It colors my stories in the background. It makes me more intelligent about other questions to ask.
See, but I don't know. See, in that particular case, that's a huge story. If you're in a town and somebody, law and order, is running for office and they've been charged with a felony to do with children,
yeah,
and now you cannot be the one to ever say that.
Well, to be totally clear about it, I was probably the first person to know it factually. I'm sure his family knew about it. But it allowed me to ask some other questions that eventually got him outed.
Right.
But I didn't ask him that question. So.
But couldn't the questions, without you knowing for sure or not, still have got to that point?
I don't know. I really
don't. See, I don't know. I just figure some people are going to lie and some people are going to tell the truth. Generally, I don't like off-the-record stuff because then it does prohibit you from asking. That's why when people come in and say, what are we going to talk about? Well, I don't know. That way everything is
See what
on,
I put up with fans?
On the record. That's what you do. Everything's on the record.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's the way you do it. It's not the way, matter of fact, I would say it's probably not the way most writers do it. I would say I don't know a writer that hasn't asked an
off-the-record. Well, this is why I'm, print media, I don't have a, there's just something about print media I'm not so sure about.
Well, there are several newspapers that I would say are pillars of honesty and truth. I'm not going to say who they are.
Well, they might be, but I'm just saying the print media, the problem is, you know, you interview somebody for an hour and you use it becomes your perspective. Because when you go back to write that article, the person who you interviewed is not sitting there.
No.
So you are giving what you thought was important about that interview, and that to me is a little troublesome. And also,
but you're doing that on the air as well.
No, they're hearing.
Unless you're actually talking to that person,
right?
I mean, if between you and me, if you're telling me something that happened to you with somebody else, Well,
I hope nobody would print that anyway. I'm just saying that, but the interview itself, but the interview was heard. You know, once you start the interview, it's there.
Yeah,
there are no take backs.
Yeah, but the fact that you can use background information makes you a lot more intelligent about what to ask. That's all I'm saying. I wish I had been a good reporter. I was not. I was only a moderately fair.
See, it's a weird thing, but I would take background information from somebody else, but I would not take it from the person who I was talking to. Because, again, they do have the ability to lie, and it just off the record doesn't always sober somebody up. And number then I can't ask them directly about that, but I certainly can do enough research. First of all, it came in my head for some reason. Something has tipped me off, and there are a lot of ways for me to figure that particular thing out. I can go to that county. I can open records request. I can look at that. I can try to find somebody who knew that person at that time. I can try to find the victim who is named in the thing. And then I never have to go off the record. I never have to be dishonest, and I can ask that person straight up. And when I ask them, if they deny it, then I can say, well, what about this court document? What about what the person said here?
We would never have found out anything about Nixon if they had not done off the record. Never.
No, but they weren't talking to Nixon, is my point. They were talking to people who knew things.
But they were, yes, and they were asking directly, and that person directly.
But it was about Nixon.
Yeah.
Like Deep Throat, the biggest informant of them all, was not known for 40 years.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, but they would never ask Nixon to be off the record because he would never have been off. He wouldn't have allowed.
Which is what I'm agreeing.
Okay.
Why, if the subject is Nixon, I would never go off the record with Nixon, but I would go off the record with people who knew about Nixon.
Yeah, I can understand that. Nixon's a little bit different, but what I'm saying is background information may have, in Nixon's case, probably didn't, because he was pretty tight-lipped SOB. If it hadn't been for his tape recordings, we wouldn't have found out anything. And he wanted to be off the record with those, but the Supreme Court said he had to.
Which, that was an interesting decision. Whether
yeah, it was.
You know what? We're going to break. We'll be back okay. in 1 minute. Who knows what will be said during the break? Oh, man. Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here for the final 15 minutes. And just to put a cherry on the top of that conversation,
yes, do that.
We finished it during the break there, and we shouldn't have, but I think it's important to say this, is that in that particular case you were talking about the sheriff and the felony, is that why I think on the record that's so much more important is even if they lie to you, which is the reason for asking off the record, if they lie to you, when you find out that they lied to you, then that's a story. We hear that Bill Clinton, his whole impeachment was based on a lie and background information from Linda Tripp and Monica Lewinsky. Richard Nixon was all about a lie, between John Dean and Butterworth and all these people.
Lots of people.
Yeah. And right now they run things on the president, 18,000 lies. Well, they're not getting that from the person. They're getting that because the person said a lie, and now we know from other people and other sources that they have been not so truthful. So a lot of times it's not the act. As a matter of fact, most people say that if Nixon had told the truth, he wouldn't. He'd still be there. A lot of people feel well, if Clinton had. Well, I know if Clinton.
He's dead now.
If Clinton had told the truth, he wouldn't have been. He was impeached for lying.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Lying sometimes is the bigger story. And if you don't ask it on the record, you can never say they lied.
Now there's a interesting study in history. Clinton gets impeached because he tells a lie about sex, and the current occupant of the White House supposedly has 18,000 or more lies, and we have him on record as his sexual stuff, and that's. Well, he was impeached, but not because of that.
Well, I don't think he lied under oath.
I'm sorry?
I don't think that the current president lied under oath about his escapades.
Yeah. Okay.
He did?
Oh, I think lots of things. But
no, I mean, that was what Clinton was impeached for, was lying under oath in a deposition, and then we found out that he had done those things.
Yeah.
I don't think the president has ever been under oath, the current president.
Okay.
But isn't that the crime?
I don't know whether he has or not, so I can't respond to that. I know that he's defied subpoenas, which are supposedly as strong as being under oath, but he has defied them and told other people to defy him. So,
well, maybe that's what Clinton should have done.
Yeah. Well, I think if he had had some of the lawyers that the current occupant of the White House has, I think he'd have done better. You know, I heard an interesting thing. They were talking about how good Giuliani was during that, the initial investigation, but how bad he's gotten. That's going to be an interesting tale after it's all over.
You know, where is he?
I don't know.
I haven't seen him for a long time.
He's probably someplace chopped up in some in some closet.
Not true. Oh, man.
That's how you get rid of him.
Yeah. Is that how you do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you take him into a place, and they kill you, and then they chop you up, and you're never found again.
Well, to go back to our original conversation that started 2 hours ago.
I love it.
Should you, because we've only got 10 minutes left, so we might as well end with that, not start something new. Should you speak for other people? If somebody else says it and they don't tell you it's okay to say it, should you say it?
We do it all the time.
We do it, but should we?
quite frankly, when I pass away, I don't care if people speak.
Well, if I'm dead, I don't care either, but I'm saying now.
I try not to, but I'm obviously a human being, and I do. I don't know how to answer that other than that.
Well, it's just should we? It's not did you. It's should that be a thing? Should we do that? If we...
I'm not sure I'm smart enough to judge on that.
Well, I don't know. Is it a judgment or is it just...
It's a judgment. You said should. You didn't say... That's a judgment if you have to respond to should you. You're judging whether it should be done or shouldn't be done.
Yeah, but a lot of people will guise it in the truth, which is kind of weird to me, that they'll go to somebody and they'll say, well, you know, such and such said blah, 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 and then people will get angry, and the person will say, but it was the truth.
You know what really aggravates the heck out of me, and it was said by one of our callers today. Well, no, it wasn't. It was intimated. Excuse me. You know, Howard Cosell always used to say, I tell it like it is, right? He tells it the way he thought it was, and that's all we can do. We don't know. 99% of the stuff we're talking about, we don't know.
Firsthand. No, it's all conjecture.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think we can judge whether we should or shouldn't do what you said. Excuse me.
Well, I don't know. I think at some point you have to have some kind of... compass in your own life that governs what you're going to do and what you're not going to do.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think my compass would say, no, you shouldn't. But that doesn't mean the implication was I would always follow that compass. And I don't always follow. But I think we should have very strong compasses, which unfortunately the American public seems to have lost the compasses.
You think?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're all over the place. They lie about one thing, and then they... I think one of the compasses that we go to is religion. And I think if you know as much religion, and I'm not saying I'm an expert in religion, but if you've been steeped in it as deeply as I was as a minister's kid, you understand that there are a lot of questions that people are answering incorrectly right now, and or at least to my knowledge incorrectly. I don't know. I wasn't there in the year 33 BC when Christ was supposedly nailed to a cross. And I was watching this show yesterday, and there are so many books that were not left in the canon, which is the New Testament, that say things like maybe he wasn't nailed to the cross. He was over standing, watching while a surrogate was nailed to the cross. And it was written as if it were true. There's so much weird stuff. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's what was written down in the year around 200.
But, you know, I think the bottom line, people are going to believe what they're going to believe, so why not let them?
Well, that's why I don't worry about other people too much. I just worry about what I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's it.
And I do like, and like I'm going to do today on a progressive life, I do want people to learn the honest, or at least the best known facts about history. Like talking about Sojourner Truth.
Well, tell people what you're going to do today from 12 to 1.
Okay. Sojourner Truth was a slave, and she wrote I'm a Woman, Ain't I? It's a very short speech, so you won't have to listen to me reading. Now, it is written with a little bit of bad grammar just because she was brought up speaking Dutch. Because that's who her owners were. And she converted to speaking in English. And so for her English isn't very good. But I never knew anything about the lady. And you admitted that you hadn't heard anything about her. And I don't think we're taught very much, especially about our African-American Americans.
Well, some of them. I think we know a lot about Martin Luther King. I think we know a lot about...
But he's almost... current. He's dead now, but he's almost current. He would have been alive today if he hadn't been shot.
Well, but I think a lot of people in history are getting forgotten.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what history does.
Yeah.
So it moves on.
So I don't know if there's a racial intent there. I just think a lot of people are being forgotten who were big. I bet you most people don't know Albert Einstein. I bet you most people don't.
Oh, I bet they know him better than they know Sojourner Truth.
Oh, but that's an obscure. But Booker T. Yeah. Washington, I bet, is in the same boat as Albert Einstein.
I don't think so.
And you don't think?
No, I've done classes on Booker T. Washington, and a lot of people knew nothing about Booker T. Almost everybody in the United States knows the MC squared thing that Einstein.
Well, Einstein is a lot. I guess. Let me try to think of somebody who was in Booker T. Washington's time.
A white person.
Yeah, who was not obviously like a president or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of first.
Yeah, no, we
I
can't. Somebody in the early 1900s, late 1800s. You know, you wouldn't know that person.
No, and I think that's what history does. I think history naturally forgets as it goes because there's just too much to know.
But I don't think it's done by race or gender.
I think it's intentionally done by race and gender. Why do you think we had? Well, that's one of the reasons why we have statues put up in the 1890s because we wanted to change history. We wanted to scare the African American people out of being uppity.
Well, but I don't know that that was done. I don't know that forgetting Booker T. Washington is done in an effort to because of his race. I don't know if it's done for racial reasons.
Well, I don't think we'll ever know. It's my belief that if he had been a white man, first of all, his story wouldn't have been nearly as interesting because a white man. There have been white men that have succeeded like he did, but being an African American at that time and being the son of being a slave is just makes it. A beautiful and interesting story. That's all I can say.
Ben Franklin. You know, you learn on the 4th of July, some people know the name, but because he was never president, does anybody know anything about
him?
Did
he really fly a kite?
Well, that's a good. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, but nobody now knows who he is.
We have all sorts of legends. Washington didn't have wooden teeth. Maybe two or three of them were wooden, but some of them were his slaves' teeth. That he had yanked out to put in his dentures. So, you know, there's all sorts of weird stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just the fact that they don't know who Benjamin Franklin is, that he was such a tremendous architect.
Do you really think there are people that don't know?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because he was not a president. He doesn't get remembered in that presidential trivia and history.
But he was always talked about in history classes that I went to. Booker T. Washington was not talked about in my history
No, but there's
classes.
A lot. I mean, there are a lot of presidents who did not have the impact that Ben Franklin did. But they're mentioned in that presidential...
Millard Fillmore,
Andrew Johnson, a lot of them.
Our own president here in... he was... that's an interesting story. Was he? Well, you know, I've been asked to maybe do a president who. Oh shoot! Now I can't even remember his name. Buchanan. I've been asked to do him. I've been reading a lot about him. I knew nothing about him.
There you go.
Yeah.
But he will always be on the lists. He will be in the President's Day
sure.
month, learning the list of presidents, which a lot of schools make you do. He will always appear where Benjamin Franklin will not.
And he will always be known as the president that preceded Lincoln.
And that's right. Now, don't forget, we've got A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble coming up 12 to 1 today. We have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond coming up 4 to 5. We have this past Sunday's Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon coming up from 7 until 8. We also have the Best of Charlie Evers today, 1 until 2, and then from 7 till 8 tonight. We have a repeat of last Friday's Exchange Club with Ted Williams and Mary Ellen Withrow on from 2 to 3.
That'd be good.
We have a repeat of yesterday's Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 3 to 4. So it's a programmed day here on WWGH Radio. I think the only hour that's not programmed is 5 to 6 o'clock today.
Wow. That's pretty...
So everything else is
regular. Don't forget to listen to me tomorrow in Swap Shop. Yeah. We had four people last week.
And
maybe
you got three
five.
Announcements. And this program's done for this week. A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble comes up after a bits, news, and weather. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Okay, well, let's here we go. It's announcement time.
That I want to write myself on an independent ticket and run for president of the United States.
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time for a change. Everything must change. If there were no butterflies, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change. That's time for Scott. You are. You